Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio, Second Wednesday Books and Authors Show with our friends over at Books Forward. Today, we welcome Dr. Marshall Runge. He is the Executive Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Michigan. He's the Dean of the Medical School and CEO of Michigan Medicine. He's also the author of what I say, crazy good book. It is a fast-paced thriller. It starts from page one. It's like, holy cow. That's actually not what I said when I read it. I was like, what? What is going on? It's called Coded to Kill. It is out now. Go get it on Amazon, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, all those places. Go get it because you'll never think about your medical records the same, right? Welcome to the show, Doctor. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be on.
Well, I'm excited to talk about this. We've actually done I know a lot of people have been doing a lot of this conversation about AI and how, you know, we've talked about, well, for medical procedures, this is a good thing in some ways, I don't know. It's like self-driving cars, same kind of feeling, right?
Yes.
But also just for AI to help to go through mass data, right? But if it gets into the wrong place, it could be weird, right? And so that's where your book kind of goes on a crazy joyride with a lot of death.
Yes. Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm kind of blown away by the potential power of AI. It can impact our lives positively in so many ways. And in fact, we're at the University of Michigan, we're testing AI as a way to help some of our doctors and other healthcare providers be able to navigate the electronic medical records faster. In the book, the premise is that there is a great new wonder electronic medical record that will interconnect patient records across the United States instantly. And you might say, well, who cares? Well, there's lots of reasons we should care. For example, with pandemics or even the flu, it might be possible to pick up, well, here's a node of that in Durham, North Carolina, where you are today. You're in Lubbock.
We'll be in Durham in a few months, so it doesn't matter.
But and you know, there may be common problems with medications or surgical procedures or you name it. That is a goal. That has been a goal of the electronic health records since their inception, to eventually get them all hooked up. It's difficult now, though, because they're different systems and they just don't connect very well. So this would be a system that overcomes all of that. However, go ahead.
I was just going to say with that system, just to backtrack for people to kind of almost, it's almost like looking at if you get pulled over somewhere, they can look at your records across the country. So like the FBI has it, your DMV has it. During the pandemic, I remember hearing all these interviews with the CDC talking about like, they really just didn't have the system. So that's why numbers were confusing to people. Did people pass from COVID or was it that they had a different condition and then COVID on top of it? So there was this little confusion, which doesn't really help in the world of politics, but we won't go there, but it's true. So it's kind of that system, right?
Just to yes.
Be on the, okay. And so your book though, man, where did you learn how to write all, like, I know you've done what, over 250 publications, but this is medical stuff. You write a thriller that's like off your, I mean, it's like, I didn't go to sleep.
Well, thank you. Well, that's the goal. I worked on this book for a long time. And so I started because it really started with a patient. So I love reading thrillers. And I've read thrillers for 30 or 40 years. And one day, about 20 years ago, I'm a cardiologist, came in for a checkup. And he could have been a character out of a John Grisham novel, one of my favorite authors. He had been an attorney, but he got in trouble. Then he had substance abuse problems, and he was trying to get his life back. And at the time, I hadn't read any of John Grisham's books. And we talked a little bit. He said, I'm going to bring you something next time. And he brought me a Grisham book. And I thought, well, this is easy. I'll just write some of those about medical topics. And it turned out, of course, it is not easy. But along the way, I had a lot of people who, I can't count how many people who read early drafts and helped and offered advice. So this was sort of a, 15-year project. I think, not if, but when I work on my next novel, it'll go a lot faster. But thank you for your kind comments about.
No, I mean, because I'm not done with it, but you did I really didn't expect it to go so quickly. And so, also give you an understanding about this whole, central universe of medical records going into one place, which would be really awesome if that could happen. Like, I even think about it as travelers. We battle. God, do you know what it's like to, if you have to basically go to an ER or a clinic if you're not in one place. So there's a lot of us who travel full time as digital nomads, but if your records were central, it would be a lot easier. So I was, but that's something that has been a goal for a long time then for you to, started this 15 years ago and then get into the story, but no spoilers.
Okay.
I'm still reading it.
Well, it has been a goal for a long time. And the idea is if you're traveling or I live in Michigan now, but if I happen to travel to New Mexico and I had something happen or a automobile accident or anything, go to an emergency room and they just punch in a few numbers and my age and voila, there's my entire medical record. And they know to start with, this person's on this medication or they're allergic to this medication. Don't give them this medication. So very, very powerful. However, what I became aware of, and particularly in the last 15 years or so, as I've had more administrative responsibilities, is that there is a constant flow of people trying to hack into electronic medical records. So here at the University of Michigan, varies day to day, but we get 50 to 100,000 attempted, illegal entrance into the medical records. And so a huge part of this is cybersecurity and being sure that that your information is safe. There's nothing to me as a person and as a physician, there's nothing more important than protecting your protected health information. And so the premise of one of the ideas of this novel is that someone has figured out with this nationwide electronic medical record how to access anybody anytime. And you can imagine, first of all, this is fiction, okay? But it's not hard to imagine somebody saying, that person, if I looked them up and found something nefarious in their medical record, I could blackmail them. Or maybe they're running for public office or who knows?
Good during election time. Well done.
Right.
But it's interesting because, it goes into people that were just killed off in such unique ways. And even going into the medical procedures of knowing that, like, that was weird. Like, that was freaky. That's some freaky stuff you're writing about. Like, honestly.
Well, so I did write about how, in addition to getting medical information, it is theoretically possible to manipulate the medicines you might receive in the hospital. So there's this, all hospitals are connected and they're connected digitally. And it's similar to what's called the Internet of Things. So everything's connected to everything. And for example, in a sophisticated hospital, drugs in the, you have a bag of intravenous drugs. They're not mixed up by a person. They're mixed up by a robot. And robots are great, very accurate, but you can imagine, and I've never heard of this happening, but you can imagine somebody could alter what the robot was putting in that bag.
And then blame the robot.
Well, then nobody knows. You could blame the robot. Nobody knows what happened. And it might contain a medication that you have a known severe allergy to or lots of different things. I won't give away any of the
and you could have bad doctors too.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
Well, I don't know if you've read this part of the book, but There's a history of doctors and nurses and other people who intentionally killed people, and they did it in various ways, and many of them had this sort of godlike complex that I'm doing it for their own good. That's kind of hard for me to understand.
It's creepy.
It is. So I tried to wrap all those thoughts into if I was trying to keep somebody up at night, worried about their what happens when they go to the hospital, what would I say happened? So it's some combination of that.
You know, it's crazy. I mean, it's like it's going to the epitome of like what you know you want to go there in your brain as a reader, and you want that, but you know it's going to freak you out. But you know it's like why we watch horror movies, right?
Right.
You, it's that same thing. What is it in us? I mean, you're a doctor. Why do we want this? To
right.
make us remember why we have life way better than what we think. You know.
It's right. Like, well, I think of it as sort of a very sophisticated approach to what was the first medical thriller I read was Coma, written by Robert Cook. And there's a movie made of Coma. And, you know, the idea is they were putting in a gas in the operating room that would basically make people brain dead. And they were doing that so they could harvest their organs for transplants. And, you know, that was quite primitive compared, the method for doing that was primitive compared to what you could do today with artificial intelligence.
You could also get people back on addictions that they were escaping.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, I was thinking about that. It's like, you're fine. Have some more morphine or fentanyl. You know, we've got to think about all these drugs out there now that are so freaky. And when I think about records, it could be a way of like, you know, how people steal people's social security cards that are dead people. Like people dig up graves and do all kinds of weird stuff out of that stuff, but just to get drugs,
right?
Or get their social security money, right? But now, like when you think about hospitals, do get attacks, those ransom attacks, corporations do, and I wonder about this. We keep hearing about like the grid going down, so this could get into like international warfare in a way with people's medical records, famous, not famous, right? Everybody wants to know, oh, what did that person really take? But if someone stole that information, could they in a way use that to get drugs that they're not supposed to have? Kind of like a drug dealer of sorts.
Sure. I mean, there are all kinds of things that could happen, because also interconnected are the pharmacies affiliated with hospitals that provide the drugs that you need. So it would be possible to sort of, so there are many, many safeguards, but in a theoretical fictional world, it would be possible to do just that. And a lot of these attacks, for the successful ransomware attacks, are not exclusively, but they're mainly coming from countries that have a lot of terrorist activities. So they come from Russia or Soviet Georgia or China, or and there are even some governments that support this kind of activity over the internet. And it's anonymous; it's a million miles away. And another I didn't really write about this in the novel, but another potential problem with ransomware, if you don't figure out how to pay off the actors who are holding you at risk. Just from a practical standpoint, now after in the University of Michigan, we've been using electronic medical records for nearly 25 years. So 15 years. So we don't have the hospital order sheets or the forms. I mean, they are somewhere.
Oh, wow, yeah.
If you can imagine having to go back and where you have to somehow get an order to the pharmacy, or you have to order a MRI or
oh, wow.
You know, it goes back to an era that we just don't, it would be very difficult for hospitals to handle.
Wow. And at this stage, we were actually having a conversation this on a legal show we do, about what hospitals are going through, about just even funding, you know, nurses and people like that, you know, the funding system. And I was like, Well, they need money, but the hospitals need help. And they're like, well, the more you drain the hospital for, hospital workers, then the more you're draining hospitals. But hospitals don't really seem to have that much funding that they need to really operate. That's just me. I don't know much about it, but to me, it's something that, some are nonprofits, some are not, it seems. And it seems like trying to get all of this to really, really work. We haven't really funded our medical system, quite frankly. Doesn't seem like it to me.
Right. Well, and I think there are two parts of that. But one part is over the past 5 or 10 years, costs have increased, and particularly post-pandemic, and for logical reasons, compensation and other things have increased. But what is reimbursement for healthcare has just stayed flat or gone down. And in fact, that's a big national topic now, whether Medicare should continue to reduce the amount of reimbursement for all kinds of procedures. So there's that, and then there's putting my physician hat on. There we do we could do so much more to keep people healthy, so they don't have to come in and have many of these complicated or very dangerous procedures. So I'm hopeful that in my life we'll really start seeing much more success in prevention. A lot of thought about prevention, but right now we don't have a great deal of success in preventing disease.
Our ancient cultures seem to, at one
Yes.
point, you know,
Yes.
our ancient cultures seem to do that and, understand the mind, body, spirit more. And now I think we just got greedy and could just grab what we want when we want without thinking. And, it's like, here, have that double burger
Right.
fries and hope you're going to be fine, right? So it's
Right.
kind of this weird thing. It's like, and did you even enjoy it while you're wolfing it down to get to your next place, But I think I find it is that what I've also heard is, on the positive side of AI, can't we also find through algorithms and things, commonalities quicker for a patient if they, through scans that they're able to see something that the human eye may not even pick up because they'll find commonalities and things like that in scans.
Yes. Well, you know a lot about AI and how it might be applied, and which is
Not
great.
really. We're all just reading and trying to figure it out. Like, you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore it, and you can't be all against it. You can't be all for it. You have to be kind of in this middle road of going, okay, this part's bad, this part's good. How can we balance it out? And this is where I think we do need strong regulation,
Yes,
honestly.
absolutely. So, but I think AI has a lot of promise to, for example, whether it's looking at an image or looking at trends to try to see and try to really individualize and personalize medical care. So we've been talking about, we in healthcare have been talking about precision health for a number of years, but I think AI is going to bring that level to reality. And so take, for example, there's some great new drugs out for cancer. A lot of press about these new drugs for obesity, and but they work differently in different people. And so knowing whether you, well, not you, whether I'm the person that would really benefit from one of those drugs is complicated. But when you bring all the information that we have together, so we have genetic information, we have medical information, we are accumulating environmental information. I think that will help us be more accurate in using these very powerful but expensive medications or procedures that we have today.
Yeah, because a lot of times it used to be just here's your pill, but it was a across the board, like if this pill's good for you, it's good for so and so over here. But now we're getting more localized, like and understanding each body is different, each environment, like you're saying, because the environment I feel was taken away for a long time, whether it's
You're
just
right.
your home or the actual environment. Do you have pollution nearby? That kind of thing could be a factor of what's making someone sick and not, so they may need a different dose. And that brings me to my other weird question. So going back to your book, couldn't someone get into the system and start tweaking prices and like messing with supply and demand? I'm just thinking. I mean,
Yeah.
our cost of drugs in this country is astronomical. It's insane.
Yes.
But we could, you know, we could have Anonymous get in there and start messing with it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I can see that happening. And
Okay.
you know, it could happen for the good. All of a sudden, you know, one of these drugs that costs, you know, a lot of money might suddenly become less expensive.
We could have a Robin Hood in there that actually does the
Right.
positive. You know, we could have a hero. Well, with through your book, I think it's interesting because you are going there with the medical thing, like Robin Cook. You know, you're getting into that, like coma, and it's like, what, have you ever watched the movie The Dentist?
No, I haven't seen that. I'll have to write down to
I'm
watch.
telling you, it'll mess you up, and you'll tell me, why did I even bring this up on here? Because, well, it's, you know, there's the doctors that really abuse patients. You know? So this is crazy. But so you're getting into our psyche with that, but at the same time, there's an educational component that you don't really realize you're getting educated. Did you mean that to happen when you were writing this?
Yes. What I really hoped that was that, of course, people would be entertained by the novel and like reading it. But
Absolutely.
it's on a topic that I'm passionate about, and it's meant to help people think about their health and think about their medications. And you know, this doesn't give anything away. There's a character in the book who seems like they should, you know, have died long ago because they smoke and they have a million bad habits, but they're not. And on the other hand, there are people who just have one problem, and they're at high risk. So trying to differentiate that and think about how you can control your own health, but what you need to think about if you really are having medical problems, and how to go about trying to get those taken care of and prevent them from happening again.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's, I think our medical system, I think people need to look at it. What I've seen and experienced with friends and family going through serious medical issues, like, you know, whether it's heart disease or heart attack, cancer, all of these things, right? Strokes. The worst thing is actually the industry itself and having to not manipulate, but, you know, actually everything moves so fast, and the person you're trying to help or caring for, it's like a blur. And there's fear. There's so much real fear factor. And I think that's why another part of your book is there's this, all these mysteries going on, and there's the fear factor. And we all love the fear factor. We are weird human creatures of fear, I suppose. But there's that fear. But understanding how the system works and the insurance and all of that, it's like I always tell people, you, anything that happens, record it. We can record it on your phone, whether it's video or audio. Record it so you can listen back, because things happen fast in doctor's offices when you're signing forms, not understanding what the forms mean. I think I'm hoping that through AI, maybe some of that will help. I don't know, but it's almost, the system itself is really harder for patients to navigate than actually having the disease sometimes.
It is. And one thing we're trying to do, so one thing that's really great about electronic health records is that you can look up your own health record. So Epic, which is
Exactly.
a common system that's used across the United States, you can look, you know, usually the same day and see what the physician was thinking about, what medications they're thinking about, or what therapies they're thinking about. And so that's helpful. One thing I hope that we're just early on looking into, as are many different hospitals across the United States, could that be connected to AI in a safe way that you can click, and it's better than going to Google? So I don't know if you've played around with AI, but you know, I love using GPT-4, one of the chat GPTs. In fact, I have to keep up on continuing medical education and maintenance of certification, and so I got a little behind, and so I was trying to keep up on these things. And you take all these test questions, and I thought, well, I'll just see how good Chat GPT is, and it's actually quite good, but it's not perfect. So you can't really go and look up everything right now, but I think it will improve. And then I think if you know, if you record it and your care provider says you need to think about some difficult to pronounce medication, you could actually look at that, and it's in, these are written in layman's terms. And so I think they'll be very helpful.
Yeah, I think that is a huge thing. And actually, it's true when you're talking about, you know, being able to go online now, because back in the day, it's like you could see a doctor over here and a doctor over there, and you go to a pharmacist and you're taking gazillion drugs that maybe don't even, that happened to my grandfather, and he was on like a list of medications that made him not, he could barely walk, but he could pick up a couch and throw it across the room because they gave him all kinds of steroids and all, you know. And it's interesting going even in cardio, he was actually because of his emphysema, and they rocked him back and forth using also acupuncture, acupressure to do
acupressure,
his heart.
yes.
Yeah. And he was actually on TV with it. It was one of the first surgeries where they did it while he was moving. It's crazy.
Oh, really? Wow.
Haven't we changed in life? I mean, does that still happen? Do people, I mean, is that ever still used?
It's used, virtually everything
Wow.
You can think of is used. But yes, comparing it to, comparing what we can do today to make people feel better and save lives compared to when I started in medicine 35 years ago, just night and day difference.
Yeah, and it is, it is. Well, I appreciate your writing. I hope you're going to do another one, Dr. Runge. Come on.
Well, I'm working on one. So this one
yeah?
has to do with aging and you know, the concept of regeneration. So you may know or may not, there are now several really pretty outstanding biotech companies that are looking at ways to slow or even prevent aging, or, you know, in the most fanciful ways to reverse aging. So there are factors that have been discovered that seem to be related to aging. They're trying to understand how to harness the power of those factors. So those factors tell this, they're not telling you or your body to do anything. They're affecting these pathways, these chemical pathways. And so for example, there's a group of factors that can affect you that goes by the name of epigenetics. Have you heard of epigenetics?
No.
So the idea is that your genetics are really important, but you need to think about it with the environment. And so a common, maybe the best example of epigenetics is identical twins. And so if you take identical twins, they're impacted by their environment. And so although they have a lot of commonalities, it may be that, you know, one turns out to really have quite different views of life or features or even intelligence, depending on what kind of lives they lived. So that's an example. But there are many medical examples also of the potential role that epigenetics may play in aging. And it is also genetic material, so it's transferable.
That's some creepy. That can be weird because you could move. Oh man! So what about with that longevity and the age, the anti-aging thing? Does that go with chelation therapy? Like,
oh, that's a great question. So chelation therapy should, you know, it makes all the sense in the world, but it rarely works very well. It does work in an occasional person. You know, the idea of chelating is basically removing.
You're swapping your blood, right?
Yes. Yes. And removing toxic substances from your blood. And I think the biggest challenge with chelation therapy is to make that work, you'd have to have your blood being exchanged all the time, because you get it all cleaned up. Just like, you know, I could go drink nothing but juice until Monday and I'd be in a lot better shape probably Monday than today. Although that your hamburger sounded pretty good a little while ago, you were talking about.
I know,
about.
I'm starting to think of that. That's weird. Let's talk about blood and let's have a hamburger.
Yeah, but but to really see that value, you have to do it all. You'd have to have the chelation cycle going all the time.
I see that. I know people have done it and I was like, okay, they're feeling great. And then like, how long are you going to do this for? You know, it's like, you can't. Yeah, it is about what you're saying about prevention, right? But I know that they've swapped blood out. I think Ayurveda does that, where they swap your blood, or wasn't that?
Yes.
Oh, that's leeches going to suck your blood. The African Queen movie. Sorry,
Yeah. You know, leeches,
leeches.
until recently, honestly, until recently, leeches were used because they contain a substance that's an anticoagulant, and they also contain growth factor substances. So, chelation therapy, no, sorry, leeches, medicinal leeches have been used until probably 10 years ago for healing skin transplants because they, if you can imagine having those
Oh,
god-awful
you've got to
leeches.
put. I have done that. I went into a pond for a dog because somebody dared me. They're like, "Well,
Yeah.
how much do you really love the dog?" Because it's full of leeches, and so I did. And then I ran out of that so fast. When those no, heck no. And so I think somehow you have to put leeches in a book. I'm sorry, but I want the
I'm
leeches in there. I think that would be kind of like leeches versus the robots.
fun. Oh, this Lisa, I may have to call you up and get some ideas because you can think of having genetically engineered leeches that may put good things or bad things in.
Oh boy. See, that's it. It's whoever is controlling the robot.
That's right.
And when someone hijacks it, AI, non-AI, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is, right? It's like somebody putting on, becoming a doctor just by putting their coat on and, having a similar look and going in and swapping. Next thing you know, we're going to be start talking about how people swap people's faces around. So, oh boy, now we're going to holograms too. All right, you've successfully freaked me out, and maybe also think about, prevention, because now I don't have to go to the
No.
No, but I think it's good for people to kind of really embrace that, and I think through thrillers, it is entertainment, so
Yeah.
good stuff.
That's the
I'm
first
glad you're
goal.
going to continue writing because I think you're fantastic. I was just, you got me immediately, and your characters are strong, very, very
Thank you so
strong.
much. Well, as I said, I had a lot of really wonderful people, friends, and others who provided advice all along the way. So I'm looking forward to I've got all my information together about this novel on aging. So, but I haven't started writing, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, don't forget to stop for a hamburger once in a while, but
The
a real
hamburger
one.
and the leeches.
And the leeches. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Again, the book is called Coded to Kill, and it's by Dr. Marshall Runge, and that's Runge. So go get his book now on all the different websites that you can buy him, or how about going to a bookstore? And if it's not there, just ask them to order it, like a good old-fashioned real
Yeah.
bookstore. We like those. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Really a pleasure getting to speak to you, and thanks so much.
You too. You too. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.